Welcome, everyone, to The Lonely TARDIS, your journey through Time Lords and space, Season 2, Episode 15, a very special episode. And by very special, I mean it's a very timely, very breaking episode because we had some massive breaking news. Before we get into that, I want to thank my co-hosts, as usual, Steven Strum.
Hey.
Hello, Steven. Sean Norton.
Good evening.
And making his third appearance, Marcus Beer.
I'm back.
And you all know me, Dolly Domofsky. Anyway, so we decided to have this quote-unquote emergency podcast. Not really emergency, but just a quicker turnaround time because the news broke yesterday that Matt Smith has decided to leave Doctor Who. That is correct. The 11th Doctor is done for, or the 12th Doctor, depending on if you're that knee-deep into the lore of Doctor Who. But, yeah, the news broke yesterday. We're recording Sunday evening. It broke yesterday, Saturday evening, BBC time, I guess you could say, although the press release actually did go out earlier in the day, so a lot of people were embargoed to release the news, but we all kind of found out at the same time. So, initial reactions. I want to get everyone's initial reaction out of the way first, and then we'll get into what this means for Doctor Who. Let's start with Sean. Sean, what was Twitter was your initial discovery of Doctor Who leaving.
It was, yeah. And I kind of thought that it was, a bit of the usual back and forth, but then the BBC article popped up, and it was all official, like... And, you know, I guess I was caught off guard because I felt like he was on record saying he was coming back next year. So I kind of braced myself for that. Like, he was going to blow us away in the 50th, hopefully, and then do the Christmas special and then have a proper season with Clara. And now he's not doing any of that. So it caught me away off guard. Maybe it shouldn't have. I know some people said it wasn't surprising. But, it took me, like, a full day to process it.
Yeah, I think one of the people that you said that wasn't surprised was Marcus, who actually, if listeners remember, he did kind of call it the last episode.
I didn't kind of call it. I pretty much called it. It was like, he's going after the Christmas special.
Man.
I look like an idiot for being like, no, you're wrong.
Well, look, I mean, you know, there's originally a story had broken in March, I think, in a newspaper saying that he was going to be gone at the end of the year, and he denied it, the BBC denied it. Then out came this 8th season confirmation that Matt Smith was going to be back and everything, and now we've got this. I did read a piece where they said he's obviously enjoying hanging out with Ryan Gosling a lot because they're making a movie together right now. Mm-hmm. Look, it is no surprise. 4 years is a really good run for anybody. Matt Smith has definitely grown. First time I saw him, I just want to slap him because he looked like 12 years old. But he's definitely grown. He's dealt with some great stuff. He's made the role his own, just like David Tennant did before him. And I think the only downside is that, you know, he's had to work for the last year or so on some very up and down episodes.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of disappointed that Stephen Moffat's not going.
Yeah, that was. I think that's a few of us were hoping that it would be Stephen Moffat instead of Matt Smith. Although after that finale, which was fantastic, then you start to think, man, Moffat can pull these out of his ass every once in a while. But
he can only do it once. That's the thing. Once in a while.
Yeah. I think he's better under someone else. Moffat's better when he's contributing to someone else's. Yeah. I think I can say that with confidence now. But. Yeah, I guess we'll see what you and Steven think. Then we can circle back to this whole Smith under or someone else under Moffat thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, I was definitely shocked. I was kind of expecting Matt to really kind of take on the role of the Doctor. I actually only thought it would be one more year instead of this year.
Sure,
but only because the season ended so strong that I thought there was a lot of momentum going forward that. You know, the 50th is going to be hopefully fantastic. The Christmas episode would have been great, and we would have really gotten to see, you know, the adventures of the Doctor and Clara in, in Series 8. And I thought that it was just a great setup for Matt Smith, and he could exit gracefully at the end of that. But, yeah, I was kind of shocked that it was this soon. And I was actually shocked the way the news kind of came out. Obviously, it was embargoed, but it just kind of sounds like he decided he was done rather than the...
Yep.
Rather than the show deciding that he was done.
And on a Saturday, right? I mean, is that normal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this has been going on for a while, but well, it is a Saturday after after who? So the, you know, after the season finale.
Sure. I guess I mean more than like a Saturday as opposed to like, you know, a business day.
Sure, sure.
But I don't really know what's common, you know, in terms of breaking news and stuff and entertainment news out of the UK.
Well, I think it's also, you know, 5 o'clock on a Saturday is Doctor Who time.
Yeah,
that's exactly. A good point. Yeah.
So,
Stephen, what did you think when you heard the news?
I don't know. I can't say I was exactly shocked. It did. After hearing Marcus talk about it, I thought he made a pretty good case for the situation being such as it was. And actually, at a certain point, a couple of days beforehand, my brother came to me and asked me about some rumors that Matt Smith was going to be leaving, which he had heard from a friend of his. And even at that time, I was just like, no, he's already signed on for season 8. He's got to be coming back. And then I realized, well, just because he signed on for season 8 doesn't mean he signed up for the whole of season 8. And I started thinking back to what Marcus had said. So, and then I thought, well, maybe there's something to this rumor or to whatever secondhand information I'm getting from my brother here. And then sure enough, a couple days later, it became official. I was just like, yeah, okay. I guess that kid or whoever my brother talked to was right, because I guess it's really happening. And I can't say, and maybe we'll get more into this later, but I can't say that I'm too super sad or shocked, and maybe that's just because I haven't seen how he leaves, how the character himself leaves from the show. When David Tennant left, it was very emotional for me. But I think it's maybe a little bit more than that. I think it is just that I haven't built the same emotional connection with Matt Smith as I built with David Tennant. They always say you never forget your first Doctor, and in my case, that's kind of false, because I, when David Tennant came around, I completely forgot about Christopher Eccleston. So I guess we'll see. Maybe, I mean, I don't know what the, you know, Christopher Eccleston can have a super long run. Matt Smith has had kind of a rough run, and it's, you know, that's a little bit sad that he had to get in, you know, this in a very strange and transitionary period himself. So I don't know. I guess when everything happens and everything shakes out, we see the anniversary special, and we see who the next Doctor is going to be, and we see how Matt Smith leaves. Is he going to be? Is it going to be another David Tennant, where it's a very sad going away affair, or is it going to be something a little bit more lighthearted? We don't know, but I'll reserve judgment on Matt Smith's tenure as a whole until then. But as for the news itself, I don't think I'm too super shocked.
Okay, so you know, we all heard the news. Some of us were a little bit more surprised than others, and but are you guys happy, sad that he's leaving? Are you, excited for the future or looking back? And I mean, Steven said that he was, and I think rightfully so, said that you know, his tenure has been a little bit more tumultuous over these last 3-4 years, rather than you know, over what Tennant and Eccleston and the others did. But I'm kind of interested in your thoughts, Marcus. How do you feel? I mean, are you you've had kind of a love-hate, more hate relationship with Moffat than how, as opposed to Matt Smith. Are you bummed out to see Matt go, or are you looking forward to whatever takes place next? I'm kind of curious.
Well, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. I think he's had a good run. Mm-hmm. He's had his ups and downs. I think when he's been very good, he's been outstanding. Mm-hmm. When he's been, you know, when he's been in some of the lesser fun stories, he still manages to carry through. So I mean, it's a sign of a really good actor, and that's what he is, a really, really good actor. It's about, you know, it is time to change it up. I mean, 4 years. I'm looking forward to seeing who they're getting next. I mean, obviously, there's a whole bunch of lists everywhere. Lists. And obviously, people are also taking bets in the UK, because we have betting houses that you go and slap down 10 quid on Hugh Laurie to be the next Doctor. Yeah, so it's always fun to watch, and I think the BBC will probably not unveil whoever it is until after the 50th, after that 50th anniversary. So that will give everybody – because let's face it, we'll only see them for the final you know, assuming we'll see them in the Christmas special. I mean, we've seen Tennant and seen Matt Smith, you know, regenerate at the end of an episode. But what happens if they decide to totally screw with everybody? You see the regeneration start, and it doesn't finish. So you know, we don't know. But yeah, I think I hope they have a couple of good people lined up.
I'm personally a little bummed because Matt Smith's Doctor was the first one that I actually watched live on TV. You know, as it happened, as opposed to the Tennant years, which were all Netflix for me, Tennant and Eccleston. So Matt Smith.
I did not know that.
So Matt Smith was the first Doctor that I actually watched, you know, kind of grow and take place live. And so, obviously, running through Tennant's tenure, you know, I'd watched two to three episodes a day. So I really felt like I got to make that connection with Tennant, but I didn't make that connection with Matt. But at the same time, I always kind of hoped that I would, that I would end up, you know, really kind of wanting Matt as my doctor, which didn't take place. And I think that part of that is because of the up and down, especially this year. I'm kind of bummed that I was really hoping for more for Matt, at least something to make it more like that great first season, which I really enjoyed that first season. And then I enjoyed the first, was it the first five episodes of Series 7, 7.1, I guess, with Amy and Rory and the Doctor kind of knowing, you know, in the back of his mind. And some of those one-off adventures I thought were fantastic. So I was really hoping for more from that, from Matt, at least one more year. But, I mean, at the same time, I am really excited to go forward because now I think that Moffat really does have a clean slate with Doctor Who. He's not bringing back... you know, any of Tennant's or any of Davis's characters. There's no more River Song to carry over.
River Song was a Moffat creation.
Yeah, that's a Moffat character. Yeah,
it's a Moffat character, even, right?
That's the thing. Once he took over, Torchwood was gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, he picked Matt Smith. Mm-hmm. That was all his doing. I mean, everybody was him. And you know, so much so that when they recorded
the shows,
huh? Sorry, say it again.
Was that Sean?
I think we lost Sean
into the ether.
No, I'm here. I think we just started talking. Okay. So I thought, sorry, my bad.
No, I was going to say that you know, Moffat did have this run and did take over, so much so that when they filmed the very end of The End of Time, that Russell T. Davis and David Tennant and, you know, the crew that were not staying, they left and let Stephen Moffat and everybody come in and film the second half of that regeneration scene. So, I mean, this is down to Moffat. I think he has to be very smart because he is picking somebody who will probably outlast him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, his initial story with the cracks in the universe picked and chose what it erased from Davy's era anyway. Mm-hmm. Amy had no memory of the Dalek invasion, no memory of, there was no record of any sort of giant Cyberman in London from the Christmas special. And this was all mentioned throughout. Like, once the Doctor realized that cracks in the universe were happening, this was kind of mentioned as an easy way to kind of ignore stuff that, you know, Moffat didn't like from the Davy's era. And so he had the freshest start of anybody in modern Who.
And interestingly enough, I think if you look back, this kind of even at the beginning of season 7, you can kind of see him prepping that sort of transition for his successor coming down the line eventually by saying, for Moffat's successor specifically, but also possibly just for a new Doctor. You see him saying, "Okay, the Doctor's going back and erasing all of his mentions throughout time and space and like that, so that he gets like a soft reboot, and then sooner or later, I think we will see Stephen Moffat leave the show rather than later, especially now that he's losing his handpicked Doctor, his first choice, that is, I suppose.
Do we think it'll happen after the Christmas? Do we think it'll happen before Series 8, or do you think it'll be after?
What do you around mean? till probably the end of season 8.
That's kind of what I'm thinking as well.
To answer your initial question, at least from my perspective, I'm kind of bummed out because I feel like he finally hit his stride. And that was in spite of some really shoddy storytelling in parts. And yeah, I think I'm just really kind of sad that we're not going to see him for another year. You know, he kind of had this weird mishmash season where the Pawns kind of leave and then Clara kind of comes on board. But her arc is kind of weird, and in that it's just all the setup for this payoff going into the 50th. And they never really had a full season to gel together. And I think there's a lot of chemistry there. So I'm kind of disappointed to not see where that's going to go. I don't know. I just feel like like Marcus said, he's a brilliant actor. And he has risen above a lot of the stuff that's been given to him, I think, time and time again. And I don't know. I feel like while it is pretty common after three seasons and specials and stuff for these guys to kind of transition out, I would have really liked to have seen one more. A full season, no weird cuts, no weird, like, half of this, half of that, just straight up Matt Smith, Doctor, proper stories, you know, like, arcs, whatever they would have done. I'm pretty disappointed. I mean, it's exciting, but it's, you know, I was a fan of Matt Smith and his portrayal, and it took a little while to grow on me. I'll admit that. You know, Tennant was my first Doctor. He'll always, you know, be my first Doctor. But, you know, Smith really gelled in the role. And by the middle of the first series, he was, you know, he made it his own. I'm a big fan. So,
can I just, I mean, you both raised interesting points there. For a lot of Americans, Matt Smith is their first Doctor. It is the first time, because obviously Tennant's era kicked off with the sci-fi debacle. And they weren't really, you know, everything was being delayed by 24 hours or a week in some cases. And it was really with Matt Smith that it was day and date. And that's going to be interesting, because America is about to go through something Britain went through 46 years ago, 47 years ago, and something we are used to. I mean, the grown-ups are used to it. Even the little kids who watch it now, you know, if they've been watching since 2005, this is their third Doctor, so they're kind of used to it. It'll be interesting to see how Americans react.
Just watch Twitter on the night that he leaves. Twitter is going to explode on the American side.
That's actually I want to circle back to that in a little bit, because I read something that I think really nails down what this is going to be like for the next couple months. What it's been like on the past, so I definitely want to come back to that. But a question I want to raise to you guys before we kind of predict what it's going to be like: do you think that this overshadows the 50th at all? The excitement for regeneration and a fresh start, and knowing that this is coming in Christmas, or at least being teased at the Christmas special, and that his last episode is there. Do you think that, as much, you know, as badly as people want to see the 50th, that this now has kind of risen above that in terms of anticipation?
You know, I don't know if it necessarily has risen above it, but it certainly has made the 50th I don't want to say a do or die, but the stakes are really high for the 50th now, because you know what's happening one episode after that. So the 50th has to really live up to, the glory of, of a Doctor coming to the end of his tenure.
Well, it gives us two phenomenal episodes in a row, because not only do we have...
potentially three, when you think about it, this past season finale.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at the 50th, you've got David Tennant back, and you've got Billy Piper. And I am guessing that they have some other tricks up their sleeves, that there are people coming back who perhaps that we haven't been told about, who have, you know, maybe in little cameos. But I think the last episode of the season just ended, The Name of the Doctor, that gives... you know, that really gives a little tease as to what you can expect, because the Doctor is, you know, loose in his own timeline. So, you know, we will see Tennant. We'll, you know, Eccleston is, he's crawled up his own arse. He thought he was too good for Doctor Who anyway. but the others are more than happy to be on board. So, yeah, there's a lot of them giving interviews. There's a lot of them popping up in BBC promotional stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those others pop up in some way, shape, or form. And I still think that 50th is going to be, is going to be huge. Hopefully it's going to be brilliant. And then we'll see the Christmas special, see if the Christmas special matches up to it.
Yeah.
But it is, it's the right time going into the 51st year of Doctor Who, a new Doctor.
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
I was just going to say about Sean's point earlier, when he was asking what we thought, how we thought this was going to affect the anniversary. I do want to say that I feel like it takes a little, maybe a little bit of the danger out of the 50th, just because I know we knew that that Smith was coming in for season 8, but there's always that sort of we've talked about it before on this podcast. There's always that sort of lingering feeling of maybe this time they'll pull the rug out from under us. Maybe they'll do something here to trick us into kind of turn us around and make us think one thing and then do another. And now, like, now that we just know this has been reduced to sort of like a business announcement to an extent, by announcing it so far out from Christmas and everything, like, this is just a we are learning about something like basically the HR of the BBC at this point. In a certain way, it kind of means that, okay, well, there's that one absolute that cannot change in the 50th anniversary. We know for a fact that nothing bad can happen to Smith, at least nothing, you know, fatal or anything like that, or anything that would, I guess one possibility being, like, if we see some kind of thing that hurts Smith in such a way that leads to his eventual death in the Christmas special.
Carries over.
Sort of a long tail version of the death of Tennant when he went and viewed all of his past successes and failures and whatnot. But I don't know. I think it just kind of feels a little reductive. It takes some of the magic out of that first reveal. I mean, the first time that, at the time, obviously, I wasn't on Twitter and things like that, and I didn't know what was going on with Christopher Eccleston and all of that stuff. So when that episode premiered, Bad Wolf happened in the first series of the new show, and he switched into a new guy, I was absolutely shocked. And I just think that now, with the fact that we just know all of this stuff, you know, months and months in advance of it, kind of maybe spoils a little bit of the magic and a little bit of the shock and the fear and the, you know, hope for the future and whatnot, just by, yeah, like I said, bringing it too close to reality. You know, it becomes a business decision, and at a certain point that just doesn't feel the same.
Well, that's unfortunately the world we live in now. I mean, nobody can keep a secret. The British tabloids are notorious anyway when it comes to this sort of stuff. I think it's one of those things that we just have to suck it up. It's one of the drawbacks of Twitters and all that sort of fun stuff that we all love and we all do.
Right.
If somebody's going to leak something somewhere, everybody's got a camera phone. And, you know, unless they film the regeneration scene and, you know, the first episode or whatever behind closed doors in an area that nobody can ever get and have people have, you know, they're not allowed to leave between the show being recorded and the show going out. It's just one of those things that we are, you know, we're kind of hosed with it, really, and we just got to suck it up.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, I am part of the generations that, like, you know, they would actually, you know what, Tom Baker was announced to be leaving Doctor Who. Yeah, thinking about it, I actually remember watching the BBC News, and they announced that Tom Baker was leaving before the end of the season.
Did they just send it out on flyers?
Say it again?
Did they just send out the announcement on flyers?
Well, no, I mean, it was announced. It was actually announced as, I think, the lead story on the BBC.
Oh.
The BBC Nightly News that night.
That makes sense, yeah.
Which happened this past Saturday as well, actually.
Yeah, this was at the height of Doctor Who's popularity the first time around. I mean, this was 1980-81. So yeah, he basically, you know, he said he was going, and he was the most popular doctor for everybody, and yeah, they announced it. So I mean, it's nothing new. It's just that I suppose that, you know, the trick is that we never get to really be surprised by who the doctor is.
Yeah. Well, two things I want to say to that. First, and the reason I asked this question is, I don't know if you guys remember when the Tennant announcement was made, we knew Matt Smith was coming, and in my opinion, yeah, Tennant specials were okay, but I feel like, at least for me and the people I talked to, all that anticipation was like, yeah, Waters of Mars was great, you know, the eventual Time Lord, whatever, but we're finally getting the regeneration. Like, that's what we want to see. That's what everybody was talking about, how they were going to handle it, how he was going to go out. And then that first picture of Matt Smith popped up, and people were just living.
God,
I don't know if you remember, he was in that, like, kind of black outfit in front of the TARDIS, but he didn't, you know, he was dressed in street clothes, right, because it was just a promotional announcement.
Right.
And the internet basically imploded on itself, and like a rage machine.
I showed my brother that the first time when it first got shown, and he was just fucking livid. He was not having it. It was just like, why is he so young?
Yeah. And then it's just funny to me because we had some specials, but we didn't have anything like the 50th.
Right.
And so, you know, Marcus makes a good point that we're going to get two, hopefully, gangbuster episodes here. But I just think it's fascinating because this – well, I wouldn't count on that. But,
yeah, I'm just saying.
But it's just fascinating because we thought we had so much to talk about already, and this just blows it up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just – it's like, yeah, we'll be looking forward to rumors and speculation and news out of the 50th, but now all of a sudden it's going to be the casting and how they're going to do it, and is it going to carry over? Is it going to be a cliffhanger into season 8? When are they going to film – you know, all this stuff, it's just incredible. And the other thing I found interesting is I read a report today. I don't know if you guys read Bleeding Cool at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're saying the new doctor was cast in January.
Yeah,
so that's whoever it is, they know who it is.
And do you want the exclusive or not? I am the doctor. It's the first Welsh doctor. They're going back to the old. And basically, it's the first sweary doctor who turns around and calls the Cybermen a bunch of effing arseholes.
I'm not going to lie. I was hoping it would be you.
I wanted to, before we cut the podcast off, sure. I wanted to see if we could all go around the room and just sort of say who our dream pick for the next Doctor would be. But having it already having been cast kind of takes a little bit of that magic out too. But I still kind of want to hear what you guys wanted.
Yeah. If before we do that, if it's okay with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you guys may have asked around. I polled a couple people to kind of get their vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But this message on – or this post on Reddit, right? It was by the user who wanted to be credited by his Twitter handle. I think is at Mr. 603. And he laid it out. He's like, just here's how it's going to go for all you newbies out there. Fandom reacts the same way when this happens, so here's what to expect. And he broke it down into, I think, four categories. Mm-hmm. The first one is horror. You know, for the next few weeks, the internet will be full of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Angsty tumblers will be set up claiming that once Matt Smith goes, they might as well cancel the show. You know, certain longtime fans will start ringing the doom bell because, you know, whoever comes in next will be the last Doctor, who won't be as any good, blah, blah, blah. After horror comes hate. They'll announce the new actor. It could be white, black, green, a man, a woman, a space penguin, or any combination of it. Fandom will react as if BBC had announced that the 12th Doctor will be being played by a robotic Jimmy Savile being piloted by Hitler's brain.
They will Savile, froth, by the way.
Yeah.
Jimmy Savile.
Sorry. They will froth. They will growl. They will make nasty comments about the new actor's ears. It'll be weeks of people poring over his previous career in an attempt to find any reason to hate him. And then people will say it's a perfect time to announce all kinds of crazy stuff. It was all a lie, and Paul McCann is actually coming back. Then there'll be backlash by around September. Speculation. People will be sick of it. Matt Smith will have been interviewed to death, blah, 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 blah. And if the 50th isn't the best thing since sliced bread, expect the backlash to intensify and people to say things like, the only good thing that can happen at Christmas is Matt regenerates before the opening credits, and so on. And then finally, acceptance. Christmas comes, Matt says farewell. We'll all remember why we loved him before instantly forgetting everything about him as the 12th Doctor blows us away in a glorified end-of-episode cameo. The angsty Tumblr users will create one gift for every frame the new Doctor's in before frotting themselves stupid. Someone on Outpost Gallifrey will claim they'll not watch the Regeneration episode anyway because they prefer to just listen to the Big Finish audio play where Colin Baker has to defeat an imposter pretending to be the real Doctor. They'll brand it as disappointing either way and award it a 2 out of 10. But basically, the important thing to remember is that this has happened before, mm-hmm. sometimes with great doctors, sometimes with not great doctors, blah, 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 blah. And I thought they nailed it. I remember when the Tennant thing happened and then the Smith announcement and everything. And this cycle that he lays out is pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reaction is just brilliant. And I wrote the dude. I was like, listen, I'm going to talk about this. This is fantastic. And he's like, yeah, just, you know, call me out on Twitter. So
thank you. I like the 4 stages of regeneration grief.
Absolutely. And it's silly. But you absolutely saw that, like, yesterday, at least the people I was talking to, there was a lot of sadness and disappointment and everything, and I saw some folks that were echoing the sentiment that, you know, they liked him, and they wanted to see more time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Um,
who was, yeah, it that wrote that, you said?
His Twitter handle is at Mr., and then the number is 603.
Okay, nice.
Well, Matt Smith was trending on Twitter yesterday globally. Yeah. He was the number 2 trending topic yesterday.
That's, so...
You know, I mean, look, it's one of those shows. Yeah, was I pissed when I saw Matt Smith for the first time? Yeah, he looked like a 12-year-old. I wanted to punch him. Did he grow on me? Absolutely. Mm. Not the first couple of episodes, but by about the fourth or fifth, he was, yes, it's like, you know, he's got his quirks out of the way. There were some nice touches, some good, you know, some good writing. And yeah, this will happen over and over again. You know, this is one of those rarities in television that the show is bigger than the actor.
Yeah,
the character, absolutely. You know, I mean, I can think there's only two examples really in pop culture. One of them's Doctor Who. The other one is James Bond.
Exactly.
And you know what? I remember when Daniel Craig was first picked, and everybody's like, "He's too blonde." Blah blah blah. And then Casino Royale comes out, and it's like, "Oh my god, this is the best Bond ever."
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think there are a couple more examples, but it's something you definitely see in genre work like this with Doctor Who and James Bond and such. Yeah, it's super interesting to watch it. And it's super crazy that, man, 50 years and people, not only people who used to watch the show care, but people who are just discovering it now this year or even, you know, just 5 years ago or whatever, care so much about something like this. It's just insane to watch it. That's crazy to me.
Which is why in 50 years' time, we'll be, you know, you'll be a group of 70-year-olds around there, and they'll be wheeling me out of my retirement home, putting me in front of a Xbox 6 with 3D Skype. And, I will be wheezing away and saying, I remember when Tom Baker was replaced.
They showed it on the BBC Nightly News.
And then we'll say, we never would have thought David Tennant was coming back as the Doctor.
No, it'll be the hologram of David Tennant by then.
Oh, excellent. So, I mean, it was really cool to see 2 weeks in a row Doctor Who trending on like social media and on websites and blogs and so forth, just with that stellar season finale, and then a couple weeks ago, and then the Matt Smith news this week. I think it was expertly set up. And I'm actually curious, did they know enough about this to bake some of this into the 50th anniversary?
Well, that's my question. If this January thing is true, and they really did know this was coming, and they have whoever they have cast, knowing Moffat, he's probably going to layer the 50th with hints to the finale, right? The Christmas special, I should say.
Yep.
Hasn't he gone on record saying multiple times that it's important that the 50th not be fan service and not be all about the past, and it has to set the future. Like, we have to figure out the future of who and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
I remember you being very angry about that when he said that.
Well, part of me is. But now I'm wondering if maybe those comments had a lot more meaning behind them.
Mm. And how smart is it of them to announce it the week after one of the better season finales?
Mm-hmm.
So now the entire summer is going to be taken up with two things. Who's in the Doctor Who 50th anniversary, and who's going to be the 12th Doctor?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that, as an ex-PR guy, friggin' genius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a current PR guy, I second that.
And it does give us something to see. I mean, the fact that we are doing a Doctor Who podcast right now when there has not been a new episode of Doctor Who in a couple of weeks is kind of proof that it gives people something to hang on to and to seize on to for the next couple of months, because it's going to feel like a long wait to the 50th.
Well, you know, and it's going to feel like an even longer wait till the actual 8th season, which doesn't come back until, what, September of the following, of 2014? So you got a true
ways.
No, I don't think there's a schedule, is there?
I don't think they've announced
the schedule yet, right. But that's the one thing I will say. If anybody from the BBC is listening to this podcast, stop dicking around. If you want to give us 16 episodes a year, fine. Give us 16 episodes. If you want to put them in two blocks of eight, put them in two blocks of eight. Preferably, I'd like you to go back to the old 22 episode arcs and give us two 11s. Mm-hmm. You know what? You make enough freaking money off us. Me personally, I've probably funded the search for the new Doctor over and over three times. So you know what? Give us two 11 episodes. Or if you're going to up the ante and you want to do a couple of specials, give us, you know, a 16 episode arc and two-hour specials and the Christmas special. Stop dicking around with Doctor Who and, you know, fannying around in the BBC way of, oh, well, yes, British television, this is what we do. We only do 8 episodes of something because that creates the demand, you know. And it's like, you know what? Take a leaf out of American TV books, get it out there, give us Doctor Who on a weekly basis, Give us new stories. Give us new characters. There are some great sci-fi writers around the world. Mm-hmm. Start bringing them in. All of them were raised on Doctor Who. Was it Rian Johnson who did Looper? If he wants to direct an episode, let him direct an episode.
Jackson
wants to direct an episode, let him direct an episode. If George Lucas and Steven Spielberg say they're interested, no.
Watch them in space immediately.
Because we will have a clone of Haley Joel Osment as the Doctor. And E.T. is probably the bad guy who's really a good guy.
So we'll
Shia as the master.
There you go. So let's finish up.
You're right, Marcus. Absolutely, and I'm seeing that a little bit too as I kind of look at people's reactions to this, and people are like, this is insane. Like, this is Doctor Who has never been in more demand and never been more popular.
Yeah.
And the way that BBC handles the scheduling and the way, I don't know if it's just Moffat or whatever, but they kind of dick around with these stories and these breaks and these, it's just awful. It's absolutely awful, and BBC can't get its act together in terms of messaging and when it's going to do this, how it's going to do that, and we don't know. It's shit. It's total shit, and I think you absolutely nailed it, and I'm glad that you said it a lot better than I could, that that's how they need to do it, and they need to just stop dicking around with the fan base, to be blunt.
I think there is something to be said for not oversaturating me with new episodes all the time, but they're taking it to the far, far opposite extreme with this,
shit. 16 one-hour episodes, mm-hmm. and then 2 2-hour episodes. That's 20 hours of television a year, yeah. 20 hours of Doctor Who a year,
yep.
plus the Christmas special, which is normally 90 minutes. So 21 and a half hours out of how many hours in the year?
All right.
That's still 3.5 hours less than the average American show. Like, a Fringe is 24 episodes or whatever, you know, whatever show you want to pick. It's ridiculous.
So, I mean, and this is the other thing that just kills me about the BBC and BBC in America, BBC America in particular, is that they still haven't started showing all the Doctor Who's.
Yes.
And I'm still going to bang my head against a brick wall in that, you know what, if you want to get the DVD selling and the Blu-ray selling, and that's the other thing, splitting up the seasons on Blu-rays.
Oh,
I haven't bought the last two seasons of Doctor Who because I am fed up of paying for half a friggin' season. Mm-hmm. I want the whole freaking thing in one nice box set with the confidentials they put out before they even got rid of that. I mean, it doesn't help that the current government in the UK are a bunch of monumental cocksuckers who have basically trying to strip the BBC of as much funding as possible. You know, they're basically Margaret Thatcher light. She tried to do the same shit to the BBC in the 80s, and that kind of led to the demise of Doctor Who because the person who was installed was an absolute hater of the series. Mm. Gross. And now you have Cameron and his cronies wanting to pull the funding away, wanting the BBC to do, you know, they have to fill a certain amount of diversity programming and a certain amount of quotas here and there. And then all of a sudden they have to trim down on things like Doctor Who Confidential and a lot of other great things that people love and that pours money into the corporation, all because the Tories are a bunch of assholes. So you know, again, anybody else listening to this who lives in the UK, the next time you have a general election, don't fucking vote Tory.
It's ridiculous. I can't think of a single piece of British entertainment that has been as culturally relevant right now as Doctor Who has been. Not something that has been as culturally relevant for so goddamn long, anyway, outside of Britain, in America and such. It's insane, and I don't understand how they cannot see that as a net benefit for them, as a net benefit for, like, when so much of entertainment in the world is basically just rehashed American stuff spread everywhere, and to see that actually something else penetrate into an American market and not be rebranded as, oh, look, we've changed the character of Tim to Jim, and it's not being run by Ricky Gervais anymore, it's whatever. Yeah, and because Americans aren't – I mean, okay, some of them are. They're not all stupid. they know that – they can watch a British television show and know that it is good and it is good for what it is. They don't need to be – if they don't need to have the accents changed to figure it out, it can be great over here too. And we're finally seeing that, and partially because BBC America has become so popular, but that has been largely – as a result of Doctor Who becoming popular, and now other shows, Top Gear is super huge, but that I don't think it would have, like, that even that sort of stuff would ever have become as big over here in America had it not been for Doctor Who basically propping up BBC America. Before Doctor Who, the new series of Doctor Who got picked up on BBC America, that whole channel basically just was like a cultural ghetto for the longest time. It's like, oh, we've got reruns of Red Dwarf for 1 week. That, I mean, you know,
do not insult Red Dwarf.
No, I love Red Dwarf, but that's like the best. They had it for a week.
Look,
cultural ghetto, awesome.
I mean, let's look at the cultural perspective here while we're talking about it. As a Brit, I can also share something with you that is a genuine cultural trait of the British Empire, or what little there is, that we love the underdog. We'll cheer on the underdog, and then the underdog gets successful, and we don't like the underdog anymore because he's successful now, and we're going to do our best to take him down. So that's where you get tabloid reports. That's why you get people saying, oh, they're bringing in too much money. It's almost like, you know, in Britain, we are so uncomfortable with success on a lot of levels that we tend to freak out about it. And it's the total cultural opposite almost of America, where even the slightest, it's like, oh, you turned up, have a trophy. Well done. You're brilliant. And that unfortunately is having, you know, that's having negative effects in so many different places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of British culture in there, you know, and the inane way that we look at things as a race, as a country. And then, like I said, it's, you know, the government, the BBC, people really need to get their acts together. And I suppose we should, you know, as we are going to wrap up, let's talk about who we think. And I'm not going to say any favorites. If you don't mind, I'll go first.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I've got any favorites. Surprise me. But for the love of God, don't pander.
Mm.
Do not pander to the people who say, oh, Doctor Who's sexist because he's never been a female. Well, guess what? The Gallifreyans don't switch gender when they regenerate. You have male Gallifreyans and female Gallifreyans. You have Time Lords and Time Ladies. And that's just the way it is. That is the way the lore is created. And would I like to see Rani come back? Yes. Would I like to see, you know, some female Time Lords in there? Absolutely. They could be really interesting dynamic mixes. Do I want to see Doctor Who come back? And first thing we're going to do is the comic effect of somebody grabbing boobs and saying, I'm a woman. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see any pandering. I really don't. Make it the best possible actor, but make sure that, you know, there are some really good female characters coming in. I mean, let's face it, the show has evolved to a certain degree that the show isn't about the Doctor anymore. It's about the companion. And the companions who are the most successful are the ones who are female, who are very strong, who keep him grounded and keep him real. So, I mean, I'm obviously responding to this stupid cow out of Australia who wrote this paper about Doctor Who being so sexist and being one of the sexist franchises on television. When honestly, then it was backed up by somebody from India who said he was also racist, which I find ridiculous because Russell T. Davis, a gay Welshman, retconned so much of British history, and that, you know, there if you look at some of the older episodes, the Next Doctor, for example, you know, he cast characters in there who you wouldn't have seen in Britain. No, you know, you wouldn't have seen a black female in Britain at that time. Yet he put them in. And, you know, therefore, you know, not really, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. I think it's great that they're putting this stuff in and they're showing that, you know, we should be a more diverse and multicultural society. But when we're, you know, when we have these idiots trying to make their cause and, you know, shout from the rooftops, I want to kick them in the nuts, metaphorically speaking. And I just hope the BBC hasn't listened. I hope they do have somebody lined up. I hope, you know, I hope it's another guy. And like I said, I would love to see, you know, unlock the Time War. Unlock the Time War.
Yes, yes,
give
us absolutely
some more. Give us some kick ass. I mean, the Rani was just a really cool character. I mean, she was, you know, this conflicted, almost, you know, half doctor, half master character. Why isn't she back?
I remember back at the end of season 3 when that hand comes off screen and picks up the Master's ring. That was, for a long time, that was the big rumor going around that it was going
to be Rennie. And then that... Davies was just like, nope.
Yep.
Well, hasn't Moffat come out and said nobody would want to see or care or know about her? And for the next episode, we should talk about this, because I think there's a quote from Moffat floating out there where he's just like, no, well, no, there aren't enough Hulk fans that would care about her.
That's utter horseshit.
I'm just saying. I don't want to speak about it too much until I find it. But
sure, but I'm just saying, if that is true. Like,
no, and I think that raises a good point, too. I agree that pandering would be bad. And that, you know, there can absolutely be changes if it's just true that there are no women that write on the show and all that other stuff. Then absolutely. But this is a show that has done the Black Companion thing. They've done Captain Jack, which God knows what he is. And
he's
like
pansexual. Pansexual.
Yeah. No, I know. But he's everything sexual.
Well, I think he's trisexual.
Oh, you said tri. I'm sorry.
Jack anything.
I thought you said
I said pansexual, and that just means everything. So.
But yes, the point being is I agree with Marcus. I wouldn't do it just to do it. And there are certain characters. That doesn't matter. So were you saying, Marcus, were you going to put any names, or were you just going to...
All right. Since you're insisting I give a name.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to throw one out there that will totally flummox everybody and probably will never happen. But, in fact, I'm going to put two. Stephen Fry or Eddie.
Oh, God damn it! You took mine!
They forced me to say it, so there you go. Eddie Izzard. Neither are going to happen because they're going to pick another unknown. I mean, Matt Smith was an unknown. Christopher Eccleston was brought back because this was the excitement of starting a new franchise. David Tennant was known for Casanova, and that was probably about it in the UK. And he wasn't known anywhere else. So they will go with somebody who's relatively unknown, but who can be, unique looking and a good character actor.
You know, I'm going to say something to that same effect. I think it's going to be someone who's an unknown. Initially I thought it would be because Doctor Who has grown so much in the U.S. I thought it would be somebody that would be familiar to American audiences, to Western audiences, but it may be someone, you know, there was a rumor, I think Bleeding or Doctor Who actually posted for Rafe Spall, who is the writer in Life of Pi, if you've seen that. He was in Prometheus. I think someone like him would be a good fit. Someone who has maybe played bit roles in films. Definitely I don't want to see a star in there. I know the Hugh Laurie rumors floating out there, which I don't want. I don't want Idris Elba. I don't want Richard Ayoade, but I wouldn't mind someone who has a little bit of energy and can definitely take the role in a very different way than Tennant and Matt Smith. I don't want someone as young as Smith, but I definitely want to have some kind of energy, a little bit more than what, and I think more physical energy rather than wits, I guess you could say. I'd like to see a little bit more of a raw doctor than a harebrained mad scientist type that Matt Smith was sometimes seen
as. You think they need the physical energy?
Well,
it's somebody who's got the wit to and pull the emotional range as opposed to having physical energy. Because, I mean, the doctor is, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, Russell T. Davis loved. He's running everywhere.
Right, yeah.
I would actually rather have a doctor who runs for 20 feet, realizes he's knackered, uses his brain to, I'm going to do rewire this, 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 and this, and then all of a sudden the floor collapses and then the people chasing them are gone. I think it's gone away from the wits. I think it's gone away from the wits of, Tom Baker and Peter Davidson, where they're not, I mean, Doctor Who is not Rambo.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, I would like to see, and he can't be good looking, not too good looking anyway.
And that's what I was going to say, though. New Who really is the run.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if they stick with that, and I imagine they're going to want to, if they kind of can't go older, too much older anyway.
And that's my fear as well, because of the greater audience that watches Who now. I think that's, I don't think they're going to go too much, too much older.
Sure. What do you think, Steve?
Well, damn it.
It's okay if you have the same.
Yeah, he took Stephen Fry from me, who we were talking about Hugh Laurie, and I was, that immediately brought me to Stephen Fry with Bitter Fry and Laurie. But yeah, Stephen Fry, you want a doctor. I could not agree more with Marcus about having a doctor that is more cerebral, more like he sits and thinks through his problems instead of running away from them and like trying to create some kind of, not an actual laser gun, but something that does the same thing by the end of it, you know, basically something to vaporize them. You know what? Yeah, you know how you get do that? You get a fat man up there.
and again, we're coming back to me. Batman smokes 20 a day.
You can't run.
Now, that being said, since he already did say Stephen Fry, my two other choices are another nice fat man, Brendan Gleeson. I really loved him in The Guard. I think it was last year. And I think that sort of role he had in there where he was a very, I mean, he was obviously a very raunchy in that movie, but sort of that sort of personality, or even in Bruges, his sort of character where he's a little bit more understated, but still totally hilarious. If you gave him a role where he was playing a very smart man, I think he could be very interesting. And then my final choice, and I'm sorry I have so many, but I wanted to bring this one up because Corey Rolon, friend of the show, Corey Rolon, mentioned it today on Twitter. Andrew Scott played Moriarty on Sherlock. He is the younger choice, obviously, and probably of these is probably the most likely, if not exactly likely. But the fact that Moffat killed him off of Sherlock, very unceremoniously, kind of almost makes me wonder if...
well, supposedly,
Yeah. Well, we'll see in season three. But there was an out to free up Andrew Scott's schedule for this. So I think that would be a very interesting choice, too. He has a very sort of manic energy to him, too, and obviously played a very diabolical, but a very intelligent, smart, cerebral character on that show.
You know, I'm going to throw one more... out there. I don't have a name, but I wouldn't mind seeing a something, if we do go on more on the cerebral path, I guess, something where the doctor maybe has, I don't want to say disability, but where he's physically defeated, so he can't be as mobile. He's not a, you know, a doctor with a cane could be kind of cool. But I look back all the way back to Hartnell and how much older gentlemen couldn't run, could hardly walk in some cases, but still had flair. That could be kind of interesting and cool to see, because he was you know, totally opposite what I think Matt Smith was. So either way, I'm hoping that we're all surprised, and I'm hoping that the surprise remains as long as possible.
Sure.
So
yeah. So I dropped a name in our chat here because I know this guy's been a front runner for a long time in terms of fan feedback. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I don't want to butcher it. So Marcus, if you want to handle that for me.
Our pronunciation expert, Marcus Beer.
Yeah, because that's a really British name. Now, my understanding, this comes from actually my time as a PR guy when we were looking at cast the Jason Bourne game, and his name popped up, and I think it's pronounced Chuital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's just say he was in Firefly and he was in Kinky Boots. The big black guy who is a really great comic, as well as a really good actor in general. He has come up. His name's come up.
He was
multitude of times
everywhere when we didn't know Matt Smith was doing the Doctor, and he's you know, Dolly, you mentioned Doctor Who. He's the number one on their list. They put together a list of 12.
That is an amazing choice. I remember watching the commentary for Serenity and hearing Joss Whedon explain that he picked him specifically for the role because if you can do comedy, you can do anything, was the logic for Joss Whedon. And I actually do. Yeah, he is very funny if you see Kinky Boots, and that's a really good choice.
Yeah. I dropped a name. So he's the front in terms of the internet speculation. I dropped the name of my buddy yesterday, Tom Hiddleston.
Loki? No, Loki's going to be tied up with
Avengers and
with Avengers and Thor.
Loki is an American property.
If they keep the wonky ass scheduling, who knows?
Well, let me throw you two names. One based on the Bleeding Cool article, which is actually a really good article. Mm-hmm. But another name I saw was Damian Lewis.
Oh,
because let's face it, Matt Smith was disappointed not to be Ginger. Is it time for a Ginger Doctor? And Damian Lewis is a Brit. And I mean, this is, and you know, unfortunately for you Americans, there is no chance of an American being cast as Doctor Who.
Which so is fine. And it shouldn't be anyway.
Yeah, all the people on Twitter who are like, well, we need an American now because it's big over here. They can line up and suck my TARDIS.
And on that note.
Well, no, there is one. I mean, there's obviously, there's two things we haven't considered. You know, who is Doctor Who? Right now, it's Matt Smith, who also was Doctor Who at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, oh, yeah. John Hurt.
Might be an interim Doctor for a couple of episodes.
I would be super excited to see that happen.
I cannot. I just can't see it.
Really? Well,
yeah, I mean, it would be phenomenally interesting if they did it. Mm-hmm. But the other one, and this is really sort of like kicked around so many times, that people are asking, why can't the Doctor regenerate backwards?
Backwards, yeah. David Tennant. Oh, God, that would be fantastic. Oh, God. Oh,
God. I mean, hey, Romana, too. We know that some of them can pick their appearance occasionally.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. He talked about the guy from The Doctor's Wife, his bestie. He found the tattoo. He talked about how he chose to be a woman on some regenerations. So.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up when Marcus brought up the time.
Having his rant.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I forget the name of that particular Time Lord, though.
So I guess just to close this out, mm-hmm. there are, so I think somebody mentioned it earlier, there are some favorites already, like the bets being placed. So if you guys are interested, I can read some of the odds.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. I'd love that. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So on the top of one of the lists is a guy named Rory Kinnear, 3-1. Mm-hmm. David Harewood, 4-1.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch, 6-1.
Not going to happen.
Nope.
He belongs to the U.S. now. He's one of those British actors who now we own him.
Well, he's going to do another season of Sherlock.
Sure, but he's got to because that's his old thing. But he's Smaug now. I don't know if I can spoil what he plays in Star Trek Into Darkness, but he is a prominent role in the Star Trek universe now. Sure. You know?
Russell Tovey, 9-1. Helen Mirren, 20-1. David Tennant, 20-1. Daniel Radcliffe, 25-1.
Oh, my God.
Hugh Laurie, 33-1. Bill Bailey, 50-1. And then a different, I guess, bookie. I don't know where this is coming from, but has Russell Tovey at 10-1. Rupert Grint at 10-1.
Another ginger doctor.
Rory Kinnear again. Ben Whishaw, 14-1. Oh, God. Billy Piper, 16-1. David Morrissey at 16-1.
Morrissey.
Martin Freeman 16-1.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton 20-1.
I saw people saying that on Twitter actually.
Ewan McGregor 25-1.
Yeah.
And then in terms of other interesting names, Rowan Atkinson 40-1.
Oh, yeah, he already was a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
John Hurt 50-1. Jason Statham 100-1.
Oh my God.
David Beckham 250-1. Simon Cowell 250-1.
Oh Christ! All right, that's just being silly.
Well, and yeah, they obviously throw in the last ones as just stupid bets. So that some muppet is going to plonk down £5 and say, "Oh, look at my betting slip. I said David Beckham's going to win."
But Rory Kinnear shows up on both lists. Russell Tovey shows up on both lists. So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where's Peter Dinklage on those lists?
He's American.
I know, but he does a pretty good British accent.
I think we can agree we're in an interesting time here, guys, and an exciting time, too. And we already were, but this takes it to a whole other level.
Well, now it gives us something to speculate and talk about for the rest of this summer while we await the breaking news whenever they do officially announce who the successor will be and when we hear more information on the 50th anniversary and spoilers start to appear from there. So,
and when we recap the season, this gives it a whole new meaning for us.
Oh, yeah, We'll have to do that in the next episode or two here. So on that note, we are going to sign off for the evening. We've had a fantastic hour. I really do hope that whoever we get is someone that isn't a fantastic choice right away, that they definitely grow on us, and I'm sure all of us on the show and all of our listeners agree. So on that note, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at Lonely TARDIS. You can find me at CoolRats. You can find Marcus at Annoyed Gamer, and you can also find him on GameTrailers.com, which is, you've had some really fantastic episodes the last couple weeks, Marcus. Definitely.
Oh, thank you. I've been very blessed because there's been a couple of people, Microsoft, etc., who have been very kind in giving me fish in a barrel to shoot.
Jokes. You can also find Steven at Steven Strum.
Yep, that's STEVNSTROM.
And finally, you can find the wonderful Sean Norton.
That's at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON. I was wondering if you were going to compliment each of us as well, Dolly, on stuff we've been doing the past couple weeks. Sean, you've done some great press
Sean,
releases.
You were fantastically impossible to get a hold of the last couple of weeks. next week, we're all going to be in LA next week, so there probably won't be an episode popping up unless we are able to go back in time as a Time Lord. But
doing this live would be fun, but I think the odds are really low.
The odds on that one.
You don't want to do it in my house?
I think you may have just signed yourself up for us to appear there during the week. On that note, thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys on the next episode of The Lonely Tardis.